This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ulaga Church of Christ in Ulaga, Oklahoma. We do want to welcome everyone back to the Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word podcast. With me, as always, is Brother Matthew Olson from the Chipman Road Church of Christ there in Missouri. Myself, Russ Earl from the Ulaga Church of Christ here in Ulaga, Oklahoma. We're thankful for you being here with us today. We're continuing looking at the wicked sons of Eli. And we talked about this last time. We talked a little bit about some of the things that the sons have been doing, and some of the we discussed, at least in brief, some of the areas in which Eli, you might say, struggled or faltered at, and how that came, and the results from that. You know, we also mentioned last time how it's not uncommon, especially in the Old Testament, where you have these great Bible characters who did tremendous things, but their children who came after them struggled. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." And we drop down to verse 22. It says here, "Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his son did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them," verse 23, "Why do you do such things? For I hear evil dealings from all the people." And we talked about how that their actions were indeed public. They were well known. Unfortunately, there in verse 22, it's always bad when sin enters in, because people do make mistakes. They have lapse of judgment and those types of things here. But here we find here in verse 22 that what was even worse was not just that these guys have done something wrong. It was much more than just a lapse of judgment. They were doing tremendously evil things. And we find there in verse 22, the text says there that he had heard it. He had heard everything his sons did to all Israel. Heard tells us that he heard it from other people. That means others have gone and told Eli what was taking place. And in verse 23, he says, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people." When I think about that phrase there, "Why do you do such evil things?" I think about how many times we hear people, and maybe even ourselves as well, when we talk to our children, you know, we use the phrase, "You know better." And that's what I think of there in verse 23. He says, "Why do you do such things?" You know, I'm sure Eli taught them. I'm sure he did teach them, the Bible, and teach them the Bible, teach them about God. They didn't have the Bibles, we know, in Eli's day. But he was teaching them biblical concepts. I don't have any doubt in that. But, you know, everyone can learn from those who have gone before and learn from and see the dangers of what can happen and how we can try to do some preventative things here. And that's what we're talking about here today, is how to prevent some of the things that Eli had to go through. You know, we think about some of the things he did here, and we don't read of him correcting them other than him just telling them basically that, you know, they shouldn't be doing this. He says in verse 23, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Know, my sons, for it's not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress." And he goes on to talk about some things they have been doing. And we find there in verse 26, it moves on to talking about Samuel. And as Samuel comes onto the scene, we find later that Eli's sons are killed, and that from the news of his kids being killed, he actually falls backwards and then dies. But when we think about Eli, we think about how he must have felt when he heard those things and heard about his sons. And we were reminded today, being in the New Testament, of course, how we are to do our very best to raise our children up. You know, I think we have to realize that we have to remember, I think, always, that children, of course, have free will, just like everyone else. And especially after they leave the home, they have free will. And Eli's sons were definitely out of the home, you know, we find there in 1 Samuel 2. But if we look at Ephesians 6 and verse 4, Paul tells those in Ephesus, he says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We talked about that a little bit last time as well, how that word admonition literally means the encouragement of the Lord. Now, it is a constant battle against sin. It doesn't matter really what time frame you're talking about. When you're talking about the Testament period in which Eli and them lived in, or us today, evil is all around us, and the temptation to do evil is always all around us. And so we have to do our very best to teach our children, and also at the same time reminding ourselves as well to stay away from those evil temptations. If you look at Deuteronomy 11, verse 19, and I'll mention this verse, and I'll let Matt talk because I've been yammering here for 5 minutes. But you're looking at verse 19, he says, and you teach them to your children, this being, of course, God's commandments, teach them of your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And I always, when I look at verse 19, the idea seems very clear that you teach your children every chance you get. And I think there's our teaching opportunities all around us. And I don't mean that we sit in our homes and we teach our children 24 hours a day, but when we go out and we're doing things, there are teaching opportunities around us. You know, if you go into Walmart and see how people are dressing, those are a good way times to remind your children that you don't dress this way, or you hear how they talk to their parents and you say, you don't, you see how, if you hear that, you don't talk like that. You know, I've done that many times. I remember when I was, and Lisa as well, but I remember there was, I forget how old Chloe was, and we were walking to a store and there was a mannequin that didn't have any clothes on it. They were obviously changing out whatever was on it. And she called it a naked Quinn. So the mannequin, she called it a naked Quinn because it had clothes on it. But she recognized that it was indeed naked, right? It had nothing on it. And yeah. And yet at the same time, she recognized others, you know, she wasn't that old. I don't remember how old she was, but she recognized others when they came into a store. When we came into a store, they'd see something that she'd have on. And she would, unfortunately, point it out very loudly sometimes to me or to Lisa. The point is, when we teach our children these things, they'll be able to recognize it themselves. And that can prompt them to ask questions and things as well. And so those opportunities are all around us. And so I'm going to stop whether Matt add anything you like as we continue looking at some preventative measures here.
Yeah, Proverbs 22:6. I mean, that's our little blue Bible camp thing or verse, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, and like you said, Ephesians 6:4. Also Colossians 3:21. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger unless they be discouraged. You know, I mean, kind of like in Colossians, it talks about the Christian home. And I know Eli wasn't a Christian. It wasn't, Christ wasn't, you know, in the New Testament church back then. But Eli was an Old Testament person with very modern day problems. You know, he had two sons that were priests, but they were doing a lot of wrong things. He handled it probably wrong. In a way, he responded by not trying to solve the problem, but he didn't really respond, I guess. I mean, he responded to the problem, but didn't take care of the issue, is what you could say. Is, you know, when he found out his sons were doing that, he was like, oh, okay. Because he was a high priest, you know, and it's kind of like our modern day, you know, some people are like, well, you know, some people want children just to say they have children. Some people want this because they say they want that. You know, and it happens in our daily lives. It's kind of like, well, we'll push the children out, you know, out of sight, out of mind. We still have them and we love them, but, you know, we kind of out of sight, out of mind, because he had a lot of things going for him. I mean, he was a judge for what, 40 years, it said, I think.
Yeah, a long time,
man. And I mean, he reared and trained Samuel, one of the greatest judges, you know, in Israel. And it's like, if he could do that, why couldn't he do that to his own sons? You know, and sometimes maybe he thought, well, you know, they're out of the house, or that doesn't matter. If they're doing wrong, they're doing wrong. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, and one way, like you said, was to rear our own children. I mean, you see these things, and like, say if you're going into a store and you see somebody not dressed appropriate, you know, hey, don't go. Turn and walk away. Go to another store for right now. You know, just it's stuff like that. How are we going to rear our children? Are we going to just let everything be okay? Are we going to just kind of out of sight, out of mind? Well, they're over here and I'm over here, so we'll just let it be for now. You know, so.
And you kind of hear a lot of the phrase, and I got two older brothers, and I made just as many, you know, everybody makes mistakes and gets in trouble when they're kids. I got two older brothers, and, you know, we all made our share of things that got us in trouble. Mm-hmm. And, but you hear people today use, and this is one I've heard for, man, since I was a kid up until, you know, still today, you hear people say it, that, you know, well, they have a good heart when they're talking about, especially when they're talking about their children sometimes. And many times, it's interesting when you talk about people who are good and faithful, you don't hear people use the phrase, well, they have a good heart. You hear people use that phrase when they're talking about someone who knows better and isn't doing what they should be doing. But you know, when Eli is looking at his sons, he doesn't say, well, they have a good heart. What he basically says is, you should know better than this. What are you doing? But he kind of has a, I don't know if this makes sense, but a non-response response. You know, he does reply, but then he doesn't really move forward with that. And not to be hard on Eli, but at the same time, we learn from that. You know, he no doubt was a tremendous Bible character, but because of his sons, because of their wickedness, they died. And the grief, you might say, even cost Sam or Eli his life as well, because he heard about it, you know, he fell backwards and died. But if you look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And, you know, as parents, you know, we all have to admit, I think we make mistakes, or at least we could say, well, we could handle that better. You know, your child acts out sometimes, and we might snap, so to speak, at them and say, what are you doing? And so, but Eli, I don't really glean that from this here in 1 Samuel 2, where he didn't even really seem to snap. He just kind of mourns about it. And like you were saying, he doesn't really do just a whole lot. And you look at Solomon and the mistakes that he made. I mean, he had all those wives. You think David taught him that? No, he didn't. No. He was even blessed with wisdom from God, which tells us that even though God blessed him with that all that wisdom, he still had free will to make some very poor decisions, because he had, you know, he had multiple wives, to say the least. He had all these concubines. And then you read the book of Ecclesiastes, which most people credit that to Solomon. Yeah. You know, he goes through there, and when he gets to the end, he says, you know, what's the meaning of a life, basically? He says, to fear God and keep his commandments, because judgment day is coming. And, you know, that's something we have to see as well. Eli's sons, you know, they had free will. Their mistakes, no doubt, as we find in Ezekiel chapter 18, was going to be on their own shoulders. But Eli, being their father, would have to, you know, some blame would have to be on his shoulders as well for not maybe addressing it as he should have. As you go back here and look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, and you look at verse 27, he says, and a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me, and not give the house of your father and all the offerings to the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I commanded in my dwelling place? And what's he referencing? He's referencing what his sons are doing. Mm-hmm. He says in verse 29, he says, my dwelling place and honor, he says, let me back up. Why did you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? That's the kicker there to me in verse 29, when God says you honor your sons more than you honor me. It's like saying you're protecting your sons or trying to from harm, but at the same time you're insulting me. And he says in verse 29, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, verse 30, the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And he says in verse 30, behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so there will not be an old man in your house. And so referencing there, of course, the death of Eli's sons. And, you know, to me, the big part of that is in verse 29, when he says, you honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat, the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people, which is very, very telling. And that's what, you know, Matt and I have been talking about here. Eli didn't do enough. You know, it's
he did not. No.
You think about it, it's very hard to, because you don't want to, quote unquote, attack Eli. But God didn't pull back from him. I mean, look at verse 29. You know, God seems to come after Eli for it. No doubt Eli's sons were in the wrong, but he comes at Eli in verse 29 by saying that he's honoring his sons more than him. And that's something that's very, I mean, that's a very, very real problem today, because like Matt was saying earlier, sometimes we want to act as if our children are over here doing something else and we ignore it. Or sometimes even in our own household, we make excuses for it. We hear things like, well, they're just sowing their wild oats, which I hate that phrase.
Oh, I hate that phrase.
or boys being boys and those types of things. And which what they're saying, and what they're really saying is, well, this is just a period of sin we're going to overlook, and then later they'll straighten out and come to God. That's baloney, you know, for honest.
We're putting it off as parents when we say those types of things, right? And Eli, and it's sad that it's this way, but as you raise your children, whatever they go and do, it still kind of comes back to you as a parent, you know, no matter what. It's still, let's take for instance, if your child goes off and, I don't know, is hooked on alcohol or do something like that, well, people always come out, well, how did you raise them? Well, I raised them in the church. It's their decision to make, but where does it always come back to? It comes back to the parent. And Eli should have took more of a stance. And sometimes in the Old Testament, they were even harsh. You know, it was like, if you are doing something in the temple, I mean, or if you do something, that could be death, right? Mm-hmm. If you steal, you get your arm cut off or whatever. You know, I mean, it's sad to say, but it sometimes always comes back on the parent. And I think he didn't take the stance. He was just like, well, you know, kind of like he said, oh, boys will be boys. And I cannot stand that saying. I do not like that. I don't like this. Oh, they're just sowing their oats. Well, no, you need to rear them. That's what the Bible says is rear. What does rear mean? Raise. I mean, give them discipline. Mm-hmm. Tell them, no, that is wrong. And I mean, even if you have to, it says, you know, hold them and get them, get in your face and get in their face and be like, listen, this is wrong. You are doing wrong in the sight of God, doing wrong in the sight of the temple. I mean, look what they would do. They would just take whatever they wanted. And as far as the sacrifice and as far as the women standing at the temple doors, and it's like, man, these guys were really evil, really corrupt mm-hmm. and evil. And it's sad. And it's sad to say, but I mean, it some of it comes down to of Eli. Eli was a high priest. He should have been more, you know, had his whip out his belt, like the old saying is, you know, and be like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know? Literally, he should have.
So. Well, you know, we think about, you know, as parents, we don't want the last thing. Well, let's put it this way. If our child does something when we're out in public and embarrasses us, you know, they're probably going to get in trouble there mm-hmm. in some way. But when they get home, it's probably a lot more so. You know, sometimes we kill, you know, you get onto them and you say, you know, when we get home, we're going to handle this for real because you don't embarrass me in public. You know, I think about Proverbs 23 and verse 22. He says, listen, here's talking about children. He says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Now, of course, that doesn't mean do not despise your mother only when she is old. But the idea there is you don't despise your parents. You listen to them. You obey them. And he also, you know, what Ephesians 6 and verse 1 tells us, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. We have to instill that in them. And, you know, we understand, of course, that some people, some children, especially when they get out of the house, our influence is not what it was when they were in the house, you know, because, you know, they're out on their own, those types of things. But we should always try to be those who guide our children and give them help, sure. At the very least, some advice, you know. But Eli here, he does go much further than just advice. He tells them basically what they're doing is wrong. He shouldn't be hearing what all their simple things. But then even still, God still calls him out for it, you know, tells him that he's honoring his sons more than he is honoring him. Yep. And so, you know, we think about all this, and we go back to Ephesians 6 and verses 1 through 4, put all this in the context. He says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that may be well with thee, and thou mayest live as long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the love, or in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, I think sometimes that phrase, provoke not your children to wrath, is very much misapplied, because we hear people today who will use that verse to say, well, see, this is why I don't spank my children or swat them, or the phrase you want to use, the idea of physical correction. And if someone chooses not to do that, that's their decision. I don't think you have biblical support for not doing that, or for teaching against it, I should say, because we find very clearly in the Bible that it warns us, you know, to not spare the rod from your children. You know, the rod of correction is used several times in the scriptures, you know, how the rod of correction will drive, you know, the hard or rebellious spirit from the child, that type of thing. And so we have to remember that we that part of being fathers and part of being parents in general is correction. You know, I don't enjoy getting out the wooden spoon over here when I have to for Chloe. If I'm honest, that's one of the last things I reach for because there are other things we can do. But that doesn't mean that I'm not willing to do it. You know, we have to be willing to correct our children and use a degree of correction that's actually going to get that message through.
Mm-hmm.
It may be physical correction. It may be taking away, you know, certain things, electronics or grounding our children, so to speak, whatever it may be, whatever gets through them, because every child is different. Some things work better than others. But for Eli, didn't seem like whatever it was he was trying up to this point, it didn't seem to sink in because his sons were doing things that were grotesque, if we're honest. I mean, the fact that God says there in 1 Samuel that he is honoring his children more than him, that's a very, very big deal. You know, those things aren't said lightly. It's said for a very, very good reason. And so but I'm going to stop there. Let Brother Matt add anything he'd like, and then I'll close this out here this morning.
I'll just close with this verse from Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, kind of like Eli. Yeah, he might have loved his sons, but he didn't love them enough to stop them in their tracks and stop them for what they were doing. So I think he loved his position more than he loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you know, that's a very real problem. And you know, you point out verse there, point out Proverbs 13:24. I like the idea that uses there that he who loves him disciplines him promptly, which means swiftly. It doesn't wait. It doesn't delay. You know, when I was growing up, you know, sometimes you hear phrases like, wait till your father gets home.
Mm-hmm.
And not many times it's used for my older brothers because they were older than me, you know, several years older than me. My parents, my mother would say that, but many times, you know, she didn't have to say that. You know, she could very much handle it and say, wait, you know, I'm going to correct you now, but then wait till your dad gets home. He's going to do the same thing. It's not just one of us. It's going to be both of us. And so I'm thinking about this here, you know, he loves him, disciplines him promptly. The idea there that is a sign of love to discipline and to correct our children. And that's definitely something we want to do. If we love our children, you know, even the father points out that he loves his sons, chastens him because he mm-hmm. is his son, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to stop there this morning. We do thank you for being here with us, and we hope you enjoyed this podcast. We hope also that you will tune in to other podcasts here on Bible Way Media. If you haven't done so, we encourage you to download the app, as that makes listening to all these podcasts just that much easier. And we thank you for being here with us. We hope to see you again next time. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.